tongue.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Pastor Mashona, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, sir. How are you?
Very well, thank you, my pastor. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm very much okay.
Very much okay. That's good. Great to hear that. Now, speaking of, the tongue, let's talk about, speaking in tongues, which is often viewed as somewhat controversial topic in several Christian circles. Now, when Paul placed his hands on them, that's according to Acts 19, verse 6, it then says the Holy Spirit came on them and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. Now, what does the Bible say about speaking in tongues here, Pastor?
Thank you so much. It is indeed a controversial subject, but it doesn't have to be controversial because I think the Bible puts it clear. So the Bible says a lot. A lot about speaking in tongues. It says a lot. Acts chapter 2, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Also go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. However, first we may need to know what tongues are. I mean, the past 2-3 days we're talking about the tongue. Now we are talking about tongues.
Okay.
What exactly are those? What are they according to the Bible? So 1 Corinthians chapter 12 in verse 10, it is like to another working miracles, to other prophecy, to another descending of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues.
I see.
So yeah. So you need to realize that Paul, there is one word that is using for the English rendering of tongues from the original language that they were using. Basically, it's just a combination of two words. It's called glossolaria. It's a combination of two words, glossa, which means language, then laleo, speak. So okay. Speaking in a language. So for starters, tongue is just a language. It's a language. So a tongue is just basically a language. So it is a sign now, like what the Bible says. Now the question, what does the Bible say about tongues? It says a lot. But in the book of 1 Corinthians now, you realize that Paul, actually the issue of tongues was now causing a lot of division at the church at Corinth. That's why Paul had to write that. It was being abused. It was a spiritual gift, but now it was being abused. They were taking it as one of the most superior spiritual gifts.
Okay.
So it was now causing a lot of division, a lot of chaos. That's why Paul is now saying we are just one body with different spiritual gifts. So that's how Paul now writes to the Corinthian churches. It is a sign to unbelievers, not to believers. Why? Because to believers, it's not an issue. It's not an issue. But to those who don't know God now, it may be an issue. They will be seeing someone like is now a role model or an icon because he is speaking in tongues. I think we are going to talk more on that one. So if one speaks in tongues, you'll be speaking to God. That's what Paul is saying now. You'll be speaking direct to God.
Yeah.
What does it mean? A tongue is a language. And God, he knows all languages. He understands all languages. So if there are 10 of us in a room, then we are all Zulu. Then I speak in English, and you all don't understand English. I will not be speaking to you. I'll be speaking to God who understands English. That's what Paul is meaning here. Yes. So it's not something like something that is from the top drawer that only a special people can know. It's just a language.
That's okay. Lovely. It's quite interesting. Now, what are some symptoms of... what was the tongue speaking as we read of it in the New Testament? So you're saying it's different kinds of tongues. Are they telling us about these tongues? What were they doing now?
We first encounter in Acts chapter 2, the Acts chapter 2 narrative. We need also to understand the background and the context of the tongues issue in that passage. Remember, chapter 2, it is coming at the backdrop. It was the time of the Passover feast.
Okay.
Right? So many Jews had come to Jerusalem for that feast. And many other people from all over Asia Minor and some from the diaspora, the Jews who are living in the diaspora,
mm-hmm.
who were now if a person goes to the UK at the age 5,
mm-hmm.
and they come back age 35, you know, it would be very difficult for them to speak in Zulu or to speak in Xhosa or in Ndebele or Shona.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So all the Jews in the diaspora and some other, actually the Book of Acts mentioned quite a number of nationalities who were there at Pentecost. Now, it was that time. So in order for God or for all those people to understand the word of God, different type of people, nationalities, God had to give the apostles the gift of speaking in all their languages.
Mm.
In all their, that's why some people were saying these people are drunk. And then some were saying, how can I hear them? These guys are Zulu, but I'm hearing Chinese. You know, these guys are Zulu, but I'm hearing German. These guys are Zulu, but I'm hearing English. So from all those, from Lydia, from Egypt, from Libya, where all over the world they were gathered for the Passover feast at Jerusalem. So it was necessary now, it was prudent that God gave them that spiritual gift, so that everyone would understand the message in their own language.
Mm.
So that's when we first encounter the gift of speaking in tongues in the Book of Acts, chapter 2.
Yeah, quite interesting. And, you know, I want to encourage our listeners to actually go and have a look at it. And there you will see the background that the pastor is referring to there. Now, having quoted Acts chapter 2 and what was happening during that time of the Passover, I want us to jump back and go to the times of, you know, the Old Testament. Scrabbling through the Old Testament doesn't seem to be mentioning any use of the languages or tongues, anything like that? It doesn't seem so. Do you find it?
Yeah. It may not have been necessary. It may not have been necessary. But now, if we go to the book of Genesis chapter 11, that's when we first encounter the word tongue in the Old Testament. You know, so that was, you know those guys after the flood, they wanted to build a tower that will reach the heavens. You know, that's
exactly. Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yes. So God, actually the Bible said God came down and it faced the end view of their project. Then he says, if I allow these guys to continue with what they are doing, for sure they are going to reach their goal. So he divided their tongues. Actually the Bible says there was only one language. We were only speaking one language. I don't know what language that was. There was only one language. So in order to disperse them, God mixed up their language. That's when we started to have various forms of language or various types of languages. So a language, or a tongue, like what I said in the introduction, a tongue is a language. So from Genesis chapter 11, from the Tower of Babel, we get so many languages. So people are going that other side, speaking their own language. Mm-hmm. Those who understood one another were going their own language. Those that were going their own language. That's how we became to have so many languages. Even up to now, we have so many languages. So that's in the Old Testament. That's when we can talk about tongues. Genesis chapter 11.
Ah, beautiful stuff. Beautiful stuff. Now, In the New Testament times, I'm glad that you at least mentioned that instance. Now, let's go back to the New Testament. We hear that, you know, as you're explaining it, the ability to be able to speak in different kinds of languages. Do we perhaps know, does the Bible mention it all, who exactly was able to do this?
Who was able to speak in tongues?
Yes.
So we also need to remember that the disciples were to remember Matthew chapter 28, the Great Commission, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. So we need to realize that the disciples were to go all over the world preaching the gospel. But now all over the world, people were not speaking one language. People were speaking many languages. So therefore, whoever the Holy Spirit desired to give that gift, he would impart. Whoever, whenever it was necessary. So the spiritual gift were for the Holy Spirit to impart. No, as he desired. That's what the Bible says. It's the Holy Spirit who gives spiritual gifts as he desired, not as I desire. I desire the spiritual gift maybe to do that. Then it's given to me. It's the Holy Spirit now who desires. So he would impart it on those whom you know the spiritual gift will be used for evangelistic purposes. Say, for example, they are staying in Joburg, but they want to go to Botswana to evangelize.
Mm-hmm,
but
mm-hmm.
the area that they are evangelizing, there's no Zulu there. They are all Tswanas there, and mm-hmm. they don't understand Zulu.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So what God will do, number one, he may give someone that spiritual gift to speak Tswana and send that person to Botswana. Or in Botswana, there is someone who understands both Zulu and Tswana. So this guy will be preaching in Zulu. Then there will be a translator. That's what the Bible also says.
Oh, so hang on, Pastor. It looks like I misunderstood it then when you mentioned, because I thought that speaking in tongues, it's especially when you mention Acts 2, is somebody who has mm-hmm. never had an interaction with Tswana or Shona or Zulu.
Mm-hmm.
And, for instance, let's say all of us are going to Botswana for a campaign, and we're all Shona speaking. Mm-hmm. We've never interacted with Tswana. And we get there and we only speak English because we thought people will understand English. And mm-hmm. we discover that, well, no one here understands English. And one of us who has never been exposed to, Setswana, then begins to speak mm-hmm. in Setswana. I thought that this was the idea where this person now begins to, all of a sudden, he speaks in this language and the people understand him. I thought is that, but you are saying, mm-hmm. no, but this is a language that a person would previously understand and be able to speak it to other people. Correct me if I understand you correctly.
You know, Peter was a Jew.
Mm.
Peter was a Jew, right? And
yes.
All the other disciples, some were Jews, some were like Mark was a Gentile. So when Peter was preaching at Pentecost, Peter was preaching at Pentecost, then the hearers now were hearing their own language. The Chinese at Pentecost was hearing Peter speaking in Chinese.
This is okay. It's interesting. Okay. So you are saying that Peter would speak in his language, but Pastor, are you here? Pastor Mashona?
Sorry, there was a direct call coming in, so I took.
You are saying, I think, all right, it is 14, rather 16 minutes before the hour, 4 o'clock. I think the pastor is having some distraction there. But, hey, we are actually learning about, these languages or tongue, as it were. And he was still explaining something about Peter, and Peter who would, who was a native Jew or a Hebrew language speaker. And, and he's talking about that during the time of the Passover, when the Jews had gathered in Jerusalem, and of course, coming from the diaspora, having gathered for that particular feast. Pastor, are you back? And, okay, he's not back yet. And so he says, this is where this gift was actually first manifested in some of the people. Now, I do want the pastor to please come back and really explain it to us a little further than he has gone, because I truly just want to get to understand. Pastor, I hope you're back with us. Pastor Mashona?
Yes, apologies. There was a direct call that disturbed our conversation.
All right. So now you're saying, you make an example of Peter, who you say was a native Hebrew language speaker, as it were, and during the time of the feast, that the Jews from the diaspora had come from across other places. You are saying that he would speak in his language and the people would hear them, he would hear rather him in their different languages. Is that what I heard you say?
If we go to the book of Acts,
let's go
to the book of
Acts chapter 2. That's fine, let's go there.
Yes. Let me rush the Acts chapter 2. chapter 2. Right. I think let me go to verse 8. Okay. Let me start with on verse 7. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? These were the apostles.
Right.
Right. And how we hear every man in our own tongue wherein we were born. Now, listen to the number of fathers. There were Parthians, there were Medes, there were Elamites, there were Mesopotamians, there were in Judea, Cappadocians, Pontus, so many of them, but they were hearing their own language.
Mm.
Now, so, this is Peter speaking and some other apostles, but to them, they were hearing their own language. Now, what I believe, which is maybe subject to debate, this thing goes either way. The miracle here to the hearers, the miracle was in the hearers. But now, at the same time, what God can do, we had given an example of going to Botswana, and there's no Botswana speaking person. God can give that gift to one of you, the evangelists who are going there, to communicate with the Tswana who are there. God can do that. That's why it's a gift. That is why it is a gift.
I see. So according to Acts chapter 2, which is quite amazing because this is where we first meet this gift of the tongues or the languages, is that the gift necessarily is not on the one who speaks it, if I understand it, but it is the miracle to the one who hears that, yes, that this guy is speaking Galilean. But I hear my own language.
Egyptian. Yeah, because it was only Peter speaking.
But
several languages were heard. The hearers were hearing Peter in their own language.
I see.
In their own tongue. But it was Peter speaking he's a Hebrew native.
Yeah.
But the hearers are from all over Australia, whatever language, Polish, they are hearing Peter speaking in their own language.
Wow. Beautiful stuff. But and so.
We cannot take away the fact that God can imbue that spiritual gift on someone who has gone to in an away country for him to be able to communicate with the natives of that country.
Yeah.
God can do that.
I see.
Yeah.
So effectively, it does not make it necessarily a gift of the tongues if I already know the language and I'm just speaking it to there. Because if, for instance, I'm Xhosa, but I can speak Setswana, and interestingly, I'm now in Botswana, and they need somebody who can actually speak to the Botswanas in Setswana, then I stand up to speak because I already previously know it and I've learnt it. There's no miracle there.
You're just multilingual.
Yes.
You're multilingual. It's not a gift of
I get you. So that's just a plain multilingualism there. And nothing extraordinary. It's a person who can speak Ndebele and Shona, and they just happen to be able to switch between the languages. That's all. This is good. Now, Pastor, as we wrap up our conversation, was this gift of the tongues, tongue speaking or being able to this particular way seized during that period? Because we don't hear much after these, periods. So was it limited to that time or... to this day, we still have this gift?
God only raises and maybe let me use the example of a prophet when it is necessary.
I see.
When it is necessary, God can do it. But when it's not necessary, why should he do it? That was the challenge now at the church at Corinth. Because it was now like an office. This is my office of speaking in tongues.
I see. I see.
So I may not say it was done within the book of Acts. I don't know what God can do again. I don't know. Maybe there may be a need in the near future. And but,
But what I'm trying to just check with you is that it seems that we don't really hear about it, except, of course, what today we know as gibberish, people speaking in unintelligible language. But apart from the miracle that happened in Acts chapter 2, and, you know, that the gifting of the languages and prophesying in those languages, it does not seem to be recorded further in later periods. Am I correct?
Yes, yeah, very true. Even post-biblical narratives, even the early, the church after AD 70, after the destruction of Jerusalem, we get into the first century, we don't hear of that. Only until now, after at the birth of Pentecostalism, that we start to hear it being resurrected again. But from the time of the...
Hang on, Pastor. You're saying that we hear of it being resurrected. what was resurrected? Because now I've got to understand you very clearly here. Please, because you're saying that we don't hear it until this time of, you know, Pentecostalism, where it was resurrected. Was this the gift of the tongues that was resurrected?
Okay, maybe resurrection may not be the right way. Being showing up again, let me say being showing up again.
Okay.
Maybe one more thing that we also need to know. I think I mentioned it earlier that for everything that God does, the devil always has a counterfeit. And there's a thin line between the original and the counterfeit.
I see.
The same appears, happens in Christendom. There's a thin line between truth and error. So even if it is happening in the Christian circles, it doesn't necessarily mean it is the original thing or it is the truth.
Are you suggesting this may be a counterfeit, what we see today?
Let me faithfully say so.
you're saying there's a chance it could be a counterfeit.
Yeah, there's a chance it could be a counterfeit. There's a chance it could be a counterfeit, because it is as it is addressed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and chapter 14. You may now get some pointers that what we are seeing today is not what God intended.
I see. So basically, people have been creative and have created a new fashion, a new so-called tongues, and they reference it to the Book of Acts when it actually is not.
Yes, that's very true. That's very true.
I see. Well, Pastor Machona, it's been an exciting lesson. I must definitely, confess that I've enjoyed thoroughly this particular discussion. Thank you so much for coming through. We are going to be meeting with you again tomorrow at the same time and same place. But for today, truly, truly appreciate. Blessings to you.
Same to you. Very much welcome.
Thank you.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.